We just pause in our service and we'll just open this part of it in a word of prayer. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we serve a risen Saviour. We're so thankful that we have a Bible that we can read and find and know the mind of God. We're thankful that we have a Spirit that lives within us and teaches us and molds our lives and instructs us in the way we should go and what we should do. We pray this morning as we open the scriptures, as we look into some thoughts, that the Spirit of God would minister to each and every heart, that we would trust the living word, and we would leave this morning knowing that we did the right thing in coming, and that we were blessed as we participated in the service. I want to pray for the Mitchells while they're away and ask that they won't be thinking about us here. They'll have committed us to the Lord and be just continuing to have a blessed time as a family, and that we trust themselves and their travelling back tomorrow in Jesus' name, and we ask this blessing. And we do that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this morning on a subject called yoked with God. I think in the bulletin it says yoked together with God. Believe it or not, I can't see it. Yeah, yoked together with God. So we'll call it yoked together with God. And the key passage that we'll be looking at is in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, but we won't be going there for a few minutes. I've moved a fair amount of furniture in my lifetime. Now, I'm not trying to compete with the furniture removalists in the church. They have all the professional equipment and they know what they're doing. But sometimes I found that it's a lot of strain to move furniture. Sometimes it's quite easy to move furniture. I remember moving my mother's wardrobe into Andrew and Natalie's first flat at Sutherland, up three flights of stairs. Now, if you want to live in a unit, if you live on the ground floor, everybody likes to invite themselves in and steal your things because it's nice and level. If you live on the third floor, every single item you take in and out has to go up three flights of stairs. If you live on the second floor, that's probably the safest place and the easiest to get to. However, Andrew and Natalie lived on the third floor. It was heavy. This wardrobe was made in the 1920s. And I took the thing apart, took off its top, took off its bottom. It was still heavy. So we unhinged the doors, we took off the mirror. But it was still a great effort. We did move it, but with great difficulty. Okay, another scenario. Just imagine that you and a friend are struggling with an old refrigerator upstairs. I actually had one slip on me once, and it was coming down, and I was behind it, but I managed to stop it. I was very pleased about that. You know, this thing's heavy. You know, the old fridges, they're slippery because they've got a bit of grease on them and a bit of dirt. There's no handles on fridges. The handles on beds are useless, but there are no handles on fridges. And then somebody or some bodies come along to help you. Now there's four of you lifting this fridge. Now it's lighter and easier to manage. The load or burden has been lifted off you. Well, actually, the load or the burden was shared. And I can assure you that four people moving a refrigerator are much better than two. many of our burdens can be shared. If you've got your Bible with you, look up Exodus 18. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 18. We're going to read verses 13 to 22. And this is a story of sharing a load. I shouldn't say story because it sounds like something someone wrote. It's an account. It's a record. So we're going to read Exodus 18, 13 to 22. And verse 13 says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening." Just imagine if that was yesterday. "And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening?' And Moses said unto his father-in-law, 'Because the people are come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws.' And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, 'The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone.'" Verse 19, "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself." And then the last few words say, "And they shall bear the burden with thee." So some burdens can be shared. A church like this, if the pastor was doing everything, he would wear out very quickly and have to go. Whereas if the rest of the congregation help, and the deacons and everyone else, just like happens here, then that burden is shared. So in this case, it was realizing that others could share the burden or do the job equally as well as Moses could. So burdens can be shared to lighten the load. Question. You don't have to answer this question. It's a question. Why do we keep some of our burdens to ourselves? Why do we keep some of the burdens of life to ourselves? Well, I've got two things. I've got one that's called fear. Fear. Often when we share our burdens, we discover that others have the same difficulties or problems in life. So that fear can prevent us from sharing some of life's burdens. But when we do share them, someone's likely to say, "Oh, yeah, I had that experience." Or, "Oh, a friend of mine had that experience." And we find that many of the burdens that confront us in life have been there forever. Therefore, if burdens are shared, we can encourage people. We can pray with them. We can follow them up to see how they're going with that burden or problem in the future. The second reason that I discovered was trials. So we get fear, or we go through trials. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 came to mind. I'll read it to you. If you want to look it up, that's fine. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so we find that trials, that temptations come, but God says, oh, they're common to man. They're common to man. And then he says, I will not allow you to suffer or be tempted above that ye are able. That's a promise from God. And so we have these two lessons. One, fear. We can share with others and God can take away that fear. Or we find that we're living in or going through some trials, but again God says they're common to man. Sometimes we need to refocus, and friends and godly counsel can help us to do that. What about unshareable burdens? Unshareable burdens. Some burdens cannot be shared with others. They can only be shared with the Lord. Now we'll read Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So according to this passage, Jesus said that his yoke is easy. And I've changed those words to my, that's God's, yoke fits well. My yoke fits well. Now I'm going into dangerous territory here, being a city slicker all of my life and now moving to the country. But what is a yoke? I'm sure that every one of you is now picturing what a yoke is. According to a dictionary that I looked up, it's a bar or a frame of wood by which two draft animals, especially oxen, are joined at the necks or heads for working together for the drawing of a load or pulling a plough. That's what that dictionary said. A bar or frame of wood by which two draft animals, especially oxen, are joined at the necks or heads for working together as for drawing a load or pulling a plough. So the purpose of a yoke is to harness the power of two or more animals to share the load, to enable a load to be pulled that could not be pulled by one animal. Okay, so you're all picturing this yoke, not the one that goes around the horse and the horse pulls it by itself, because that's only one. We're now thinking about two, maybe a bar with a couple of those things underneath, and the heads of the animals are put in and the harness is tightened up, and two or six, I've seen 10 or 12 oxen pulling a very large log, but they're all pulling it together because of the yoke. I think we've all seen an ox team pulling a log or draft horses harnessed to a wagon. So the thought came to me, what can go wrong with a yoke? What are some of the problems that we could associate with one of these yokes? My first point is that it's roughly made. It's been quickly made or unprofessionally made. It's roughly made. Or it's been used for so long that it's damaged. Or it doesn't fit correctly onto the animal's neck or necks. It's uncomfortable for the animals. So they're my three things. It's roughly made, it's damaged, or it does not fit correctly onto the animal's necks. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter, as was his earthly father. Can you imagine Jesus making a yoke that was roughly made? Just think about that for a minute. The God of heaven in human form making a yoke that was roughly made or fitted incorrectly. I can't imagine the creator of the world not being able to make a yoke that fits well, or his earthly father would have shown him how to do that. I think it's good to know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows how to fit yokes well. It's good to know that our Lord Jesus, or our Lord God, knows how to fit yokes well. I'm going to reread to you Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." Are we heavy laden this morning? Jesus says, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." So it's not something that happens by accident. We have to take his yoke upon us. And then he says, "And learn of me. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rests unto your souls." Jesus is promising that our souls could experience rest. And then verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said, "My yoke fits well." God is putting himself into a yoke with me or with you to help us pull the loads of life. I wonder who does most of the pulling. Jesus said that we can learn of him, or learn of me. You know, inexperienced young animals are yoked with older ones or more experienced ones so that the older one can train the younger. The Master yokes up with us to teach us how to live his way. Not our way, but his way. And I fear for those people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Those that have no one yoking up with them. They're on their own. Their burdens are all theirs. What a sad state to think that people could reject God and pull their own burdens for the rest of their lives. There can only be one leader in a yoked team. If not, both will go their own way and there will be no unity, and the benefit of yoking together will be lost. Possible destruction if they go in different directions, but definitely disunity. Jesus said, "Learn of me." All right, well, that leads us with the question then of, how do I yoke up with the Lord God? Jesus has promised to bear our burdens and come alongside and help with our loads. How is this done? How do we go about yoking up with the Lord God? Well, I've got 6 points. The first one is, we must admit that we cannot cope alone. We've got to admit that we just cannot live this life alone. We cannot bear the burdens of life. In other words, I need help. We all need help. The second point that I have is we need to ask the Lord to yoke up with us, because he won't do that if we don't ask him. He won't share the load if we don't ask him to. He needs to take upon him our burdens of life. Now, for those of you who are young, you probably don't have too many burdens of life. For those of you who are, I was going to say really old, but I have to be careful because I'm in that group. You know, burdens have worn away. Burdens have been there on our backs or in our lives. And we need to hand over as we get older more of the burden sharing with the Lord, because he's the one that says, my burden is light. The third point I've got is to make sure that you're a born-again Christian. Okay, now I've chosen the words born-again Christian because if you're a Muslim person, then everyone else is a Christian. I don't know whether you understand that, but we're all Christians, if we're not Muslims. But that's not a born-again Christian. That's a Christian by ticking a piece of paper that says, am I a Catholic or am I was going to say Methodist, but Uniting Church or something or something or no religion at all. That's ticking a box. I've got to put my name in here somewhere. Make sure that you're a born-again Christian. Well, what does that mean? Have you admitted to God that you're a sinner? Have you admitted to God that you're a sinner? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Now, how many is all? Everybody. Everybody that has ever lived has sinned and come short of the glory. Brother Philip this morning said, picture a high jumper and you can't even touch the bar, never mind get over the bar. We all come short of God's glory because we're sinners. We need to accept that sin must be punished. I'm sure if we were to stop now and turn on a television set and get the news from last night, probably the first 28 minutes of a 30-minute show would be telling us about bad things that people have done overnight to each other, or foolish things. And those people will just do these things and they'll continue doing them, not accepting that they're sinners. But God said, sinners will be punished. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin must be punished. We need to recognize that. Do you accept that you can do nothing to save yourself? Now, a lot of people will struggle with that thought. Surely if I give some money to a charity, surely if I go to church every Sunday, surely if I make an absolute conscious effort not to do anything wrong to anybody, surely those things will help me with my sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's nothing we can do to remedy that position. we need to accept God's way for salvation. I'm sure if we just went around a few of the churches here this morning in Bendigo and asked the congregation, how do you get saved? I think we would probably get a different answer from just about every person. Because everyone has their own idea of what salvation is. But what does the Bible say about salvation? It says that Jesus came to earth to save his people from their sins. Who came to earth? The Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he come to earth? To save his people from their sins. Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I shared my testimony at Adult Fellowship last night, and one of the things that the preacher did when he was preaching to us that night, he said, "Put your name in John 3:16. And then he stopped, just paused. And you had to then put your name in because he wasn't preaching any further. And for God so loved Peter, that if Peter should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then Peter will have everlasting life. Just think about that with your name. We need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. We need to accept that the finished work of the cross will save us. That's a blessing. Now, if you didn't understand those last six statements that I've made, if they're a little bit foggy to you, a little bit unsure, then you really need to talk to someone and ask them what I meant by that. Have you admitted to God that you're a sinner? Do you accept that sin must be punished? Do you accept that you can do nothing to save yourself? Will you accept God's plan for your salvation? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? Will you accept that only the finished work of the cross will save you? My fourth point, first we must admit that we cannot cope alone. Ask the Lord to yoke up with you. Make sure that you're a born-again Christian. Ask another Christian to pray and follow up with you. Be prepared to ask another person. If you're burdened down and you're asking the Lord to yoke up with you, let someone else help you by praying and follow up with you. Ask Pastor Mitchell for assistance. If it's a matter that maybe is a little bigger than other people in the church can help you with, Pastor Mitchell's always available. And trust that God can and will yoke up with me or with you. Conclusion and application. There are a number of conclusions or possible conclusions or applications that could apply. I'll give you a few. I'm resisting. I'm rebelling about being saved, and I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm happy to stay being unyoked with the Lord. I'm happy to carry my burdens around. I'm happy with that situation and I won't change. I'm not sure, but I'm too scared to ask. I'm not sure about being yoked with the Lord, but if I say anything, people are going to think terrible things about me. People are going to think terrible things about me. I've not yoked up with the Lord. I'm pulling all the loads of life myself. I'm miserable and crushed under the loads of life. Well, they're the negative applications that you could draw from this morning. Or you could say, I fully trusted the Lord for my salvation. I have yoked up with the Lord God. I'm letting the Lord pull the loads of my life. And I'm rejoicing at being yoked together with the Lord. I'd like to conclude this morning's service with a poem. I'm not sure who wrote the poem. When I looked it up this morning, I couldn't find an author, but I'm sure there is. And I'm sure many of you have heard this before. It says, one night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially when the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was when I carried you. It was when I carried you. Thank you.